This is Scott Becker, and thank you for joining us. This is the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by the president and CEO of ProHealth New York, also the president of Optum Care New York, Dr. Z. Baker. Dr. Baker, can you take a moment to introduce yourself, and then we'll talk some about the things that you're doing, some of the advice you have and thought you have.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be on. I'm a pediatrician by background, and I've been in this role running, you know, Optum Care in New York, also known as ProHealth Care New York, for the better part of the last year. So thanks for having me.
No, a great pleasure. And you did something that's almost remarkable and so difficult. You built a practice, I think, with you and your brother, from 3 to 4 physicians to 100-plus physicians, then joined Optum Care, and now taken over a larger role with Optum Care. Tell us a little bit about your core business and sort of the mission of what you do and how you grew.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, what we did in the company we built, and by the way, it started at about 13 physicians, and then we took it to about 100-plus. What we did there in Jersey at Riverside Medical Group, which is Optum Care New Jersey now, is the core mission is the same as in New York, which is basically to be the answer to all the questions that are swirling around healthcare today, namely around cost and quality, which we feel are both answered by preserving the doctor-patient relationship in the ambulatory environment, as opposed to what's become the hospital-patient relationship with a push towards inpatient. And so we're big on progressive ambulatory care and the doctor-patient relationship.
Fantastic. And a couple thoughts. I mean, cost and access. One of the issues that you have in the country, an access issue, is it seems to me, and I'd love your thoughts on this, is not enough physicians in a lot of different places. Any thoughts on that? Is that true that we just don't have enough physicians? Any thoughts?
Yeah, that's both true and not true. So if you look at where we reside in New York and New Jersey, there's no shortage of physicians. There's certain rural parts of the country where there's shortages. That's a different discussion. But here in the Northeast, we're pretty saturated. There's no shortage of physicians. And so you might ask, well, Z, if there's no shortage of physicians, why is there a shortage of access? And that, I really can't tell you why, except to tell you that the two shops that, you know, I'm involved with on behalf of Optum Care, which is Riverside and ProHealth in New York and New Jersey, have actually the longest hours in the country of any ambulatory group. So we have one office in New York, one office in New Jersey that are open from 7 a.m. to midnight, 365 days a year, only for our patients, meaning not off-the-street urgent care. So they're the two offices with the longest access in the country for any private practice settings. And we actually don't know why others don't do that. It's a pretty basic model. If you could get coffee at 11 p.m. at Dunkin' Donuts, we don't understand why you can't see the doctor.
Fantastic. Fascinating. And what are some of your thoughts on price transparency? Because when you talk about cost and access, obviously there's been a new move towards price transparency. Helpful, not helpful? Any thoughts on it?
I don't think price transparency is very helpful. Given that the insurance plan designs require different amounts of out-of-pocket for each consumer, right? Some have deductibles, some don't. Some have copays, some don't. The fact that an MRI costs $10 doesn't matter if you don't have to pay anything for, you know, a certain amount, or it falls under the services that are covered, or that you have to pay all of it because you're on a deductible plan. So the price itself matters very little because everybody comes from a different benefits design program. One. Two, the price is only a small piece of the equation. Quality doesn't come up. And since healthcare is not commoditized, there's what we call unwarranted differentiation in quality. A number by itself means very little if it's not contextualized based on the consumer's benefit design and the quality attached with that value.
Thank you. And is there, the quality issue isn't addressed by price transparency at all. And then in terms of price transparency, what you're essentially saying is for price transparency to be useful, it would have to be very closely coupled with an understanding and calculators of benefit design so people really knew how it impacted themselves. Because
exactly.
If you get a lower price, but you're paying a higher copayment, it doesn't really matter.
Precisely.
Got it. Thank you. And you famously joined a couple years ago Optum Care. Optum is, you know, a part of United or a subsidiary of United. It's become a $100 billion plus a year company, huge company, sort of the provider side, the outpatient side of United, or very separately from United, but part of United. Any thoughts on the evolution of the relationship with United and Optum and how it has benefited your practice, and what were some of the benefits of making that choice to join with Optum Care?
Yeah. When we took Riverside Medical Group to market and we looked at potential investors or partners, we actually had about 14 different suitors and we chose to go with Optum. And I can tell you that, as you know, unbelievable as this sounds, every single promise I was made by kind of the buyers, quote unquote, on the M&A side when I was looking has been kept by them, which is unbelievable because they made a lot of promises. And they included putting me in the best position possible to really drive transformative healthcare and to put all their resources behind it, especially around total cost of care and delivering high value and doing whatever it takes to be innovative in solving some of the national problems at a local level. And they have done exactly that. I mean, they've allowed me to invest resources in pushing ambulatory surgeries outside of the hospital setting, in the extended hours that I mentioned to you, in care coordination centers that don't deliver an immediate ROI, but manage patient care problems outside the office. So it was a great decision for me and my brother and family. It was a great decision for our employees, but it's actually been the best decision for the patients that we serve.
Thank you. And let me ask you a different set of questions, at least for a few moments, if I've still got a couple minutes of your time.
Sure.
There's been so much discussion, thank you, this last year around politics, around Medicare for All, a public option, these other kinds of alternatives. Any quick thoughts on those? You know, 30, 60 seconds on any quick thoughts you have on some of these alternatives to creating access for populations.
Yeah, I think, you know, I have never had a conversation with a fellow physician who doesn't think every American should have health insurance, period. I have yet to meet that doctor. So I'm definitely a fan of making sure that every American has health insurance. I think it's a basic right, period, full stop. In terms of the proper benefit design to accomplish it, i.e. Medicare for All, I really think that the best answer lies in the hands of the physicians and, for lack of a better term, the private sector. I mean, from a physician perspective, I deal with Medicaid, right? I'm a pediatrician, so I see patients with Medicaid. And guess what? It's managed Medicaid, meaning Medicaid managed by private insurance, that really is the better quality of Medicaid in terms of delivering benefit design and access to patients. And then when you see, say, Medicare, well, one out of 3 to 4 Americans who are on Medicare have a privatized version of Medicare in Medicare Advantage, and they have better benefit design. And so, you know, I think that probably we need to start with the statement that all Americans should have health insurance and work backwards through the private sector, which has a lot of pluses already in it, and a running start.
Thank you very much. And I obviously love the nuances of that answer, the balance of that answer. Yes, we need health care for all, but there's different ways in which you can get there. And I think that's a great thought, and we appreciate your perspective. You and your brother, starting with a relatively small practice, built a very nice practice. Now you've moved into leadership at Optum itself, running a much larger practice. Some of the advice for leaders that you've picked up over the years, a couple thoughts and advice for leaders.
So I think, you know, going back to the theme of patient centricity, I would say that, you know, the most successful leaders in healthcare are the ones that get closest to putting themselves in the patient's shoes, which a lot of people talk about, very, very few do. You know, to this day in 2019, with all the technology we have, the majority of the time an American patient calls the doctor's office, they can't get through. The majority of the time that they want an appointment quickly, they can't get it. And after hours or weekends, which make up the majority of the time that the patient needs a doctor, the doctor's not available with all the technology we have and all the other industries. So the leaders who are able to solve these conundrums for the patients in a practical way are the leaders that I model myself around, and hence the extended hours model, hence embracing telehealth. And then in terms of setting a good example for the doctors that work for us, what we explain to the doctors is, you know, we want you to do everything you can to deliver value-based care. And we empower those doctors that best exemplify that. They're the ones that are the chairs of our divisions and the chiefs. So it's not always the most experienced doctor necessarily or the most decorated, but the one who says, this is what's best in terms of value-based care more than fee-for-service. And we kind of empower those doctors to give them a platform to be leaders.
Now, Dr. Baker, you've had this great growth in your practice, great career, pediatrics like background. You said a couple things about things so close to the patients, things so close to care that make you so effective as a leader, and I love that. Talk to me just for a moment about something out of the box, something different that you're committed to as an organization or that you're doing that you're particularly proud of. Give me a quick sense of that.
Sure. You know, my unique perspective, I grew up in New Jersey. I practiced medicine in New Jersey before coming to kind of lead this organization in New York. And that journey kind of mimics what, you know, actually hundreds of thousands of people do, which is they travel, commute throughout the tri-state. So Long Island, Greenwich, Connecticut, Northern New Jersey, Manhattan. As you know, tens of thousands of people every day, hundreds of thousands every week travel between New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. And so what we're doing between me and my brother is we were actually starting with New York and New Jersey, then we're going to bring in Connecticut to have the only multi-state health system where the same patient who, let's say, works in Manhattan but lives in Jersey City, New Jersey, can get their care on weekends in New Jersey or in one of our urgent cares while they're at work in Manhattan, and it's covered because it's all one integrated health system. And believe it or not, with all the big brands there are in New York, there's no multi-state health system, and we're kind of knocking down those barriers because of our personal experience as guys who grew up in Jersey and now have worked in New York and New Jersey to make it life easier for these kind of commuter inhabitants, of whom we are among.
Fascinating. And then in addition to that, sort of breaking down those barriers, which are so critical, particularly in commuter communities, to make sure that people can get their care to either place and that physicians can practice and admit patients across the borders and across lines. Fantastic. Anything on the charitable side that you're particularly thrilled with that your organization's doing?
Yeah. So like I said, I'm relatively new to Long Island, but in the less than a year or so I've been out here, I discovered something called Bethany House, which is a women's shelter for the homeless. I was completely moved by the mission and kind of, you know, fell in love with it. And we've had several fundraisers and outreach programs, and we've committed as an organization at ProHealth to raise $100,000 for it. And all our doctors, we have a big Women in Medicine. Women in Medicine is our largest committee at ProHealth. It's led by Dr. Rena Caparella, who's our chair of neurology, and it's been extraordinary. And the feedback from the community, when I run into members of the community just on the street, they just rave about what we're doing with the Bethany House, and it's awesome. And we are providing not only the $100,000, but completely free health care for all its residents.
Fantastic. That's awesome. So I love the fact you had a chance to visit across a line of subjects, talked about price transparency, why and how you ended up with Optum, what you're trying to do, the growth of your practice, some of your thoughts on leadership. Also talked about trying to solve this problem of commuting patients and commuting physicians and to make access easier and so forth, and some of the great things you're doing at ProHealth. Dr. Baker, just a pleasure visiting with you today, and look forward to visiting with you more, and thank you very much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.